Hi, thanks so much for staying with Sharad and I on Consider This. Last Sunday, 17-year-old Ain Husniza Saifulniza posted a video in which she voiced concerns about her male teacher's comments on rape. Now, is this incident simply a reflection of already existing gender inequality, misogyny and patriarchal norms in society? Or can schools be the vanguard for change? Betty Yeo is one of the founding members of the NGO All Women's Action Society, or better known as AWAM. Betty has over 30 years of experience working to combat sexual harassment in organisations and educational institutions. She joins us on the line now. Betty, good evening. Now, what does it tell you, Betty, about the pushback against patriarchal norms that young people today, people like Ayn, particularly young girls, are willing to take on traditional figures of authority? What does that reflect to you?
I think it augurs well for the young people because they are now getting themselves involved in a society. And I would say she's very courageous to speak up. And this is what is part of her right as a child, to speak up on what she feels is not right in the system.
Betty, where do you think it's coming from? And she used, interestingly, words like normalize. I mean, this is a language that even many adults don't use. Do you think she's getting this from popular culture? Could it be the family environment and the people that she's been exposed to? Or even the civil society in its attempts, like AWAM, to raise awareness and impart a certain vocabulary to the larger public about these issues? Where do you think it's coming from?
I think this is partly coming from her own effort in getting to know what is going on in society. I can tell you that many students now are very aware of issues such as this, and knowing words like normalization and socialization, these are part of the words that they learn, especially if at their age of 17, 18, where they are in Form 5, Form 6, definitely it is the exposure to the studies and the books they read, or even the news and things like what AWAM share in terms of advocacy.
Right.
So, yeah.
Betty, can I ask you, the male teacher's comments, would that be considered sexual harassment?
Well, to see whether it's considered as a sexual harassment, we need to know the definition of sexual harassment. So sexual harassment is actually any conduct of a sexual nature that targeted at someone that makes them feel offended. It makes them feel threatened. And the key element here is it welcomed by the person? Does it consist of a threat? And the perception of the person, okay? So whatever the male teacher has said, it definitely offended Ayn. It definitely was unwelcome. And in her own perception, it is sexual harassment because anything to do with rape is very sexual in nature.
She also mentioned rape culture, Betty. Could you explain to us what rape culture entails, what that means, actually?
Well, in rape culture, basically, rape could be physical. But the thing is, once rape has happened, most likely the blame will fall onto the victim. And in our society, the rape itself only within the definition of rape, it's only women who will become the victim of rape. So therefore, it means that whenever rape takes place, most of the time, it is the woman that will be blamed, although she is the person that is experiencing the rape.
Betty, one of the things that's come out of this particular controversy are clearly differences of interpretation of what happened, right? And in the report about what was said in the classroom, there were suggestions that the boys in the classrooms laughed, thinking this was a joke. Now, is that a disconnect between how men perceive their speech and their assertions about what the world is like and what, say, a young woman might feel, or maybe even some of the boys in the class might have felt? Is that the point at which we need to start working? As you, as an advocate, how do we shift it so that there are more people that are outraged than think this is a joke?
I think that at the moment, the community, the society, is part of the reason why this whole thing is laughed at by the students, by the boys, because the way we socialize our children, our community, is that there is a gender difference, yeah? And of course, perception by boys and girls are different, but how do we understand the issue of gender-based violence, all right? Rape is never a joke. Rape is a hideous act that is an act of control, an act of power, and it's normally a privilege of the person doing the rape. So therefore, if we do not bring this understanding to men, to women, to the girls and the boys, to those who do not understand, they will laugh it off as a joke, or they will make fun of it, make light of it. But imagine the person who is experiencing rape. It is never a joke. Not even if you say it, verbalize it. It can be just as bad as the physical action. So a lot of things in the way we are being brought up creates this miscommunication of understanding what is rape or what is the gender difference, basically, that is happening in the society.
Betty, just now you mentioned that, you know, it augurs well that young girls, young people are more aware about, you know, the patriarchy, about addressing misogynistic behaviour. But I'm wondering about the role of teachers and the role of schools. Where do they come in terms of being the vanguard for change, so not waiting for young people to call out bad behaviour, but rather being proactive in ensuring that cultures and patriarchal mindsets change in schools?
I think as teachers, they come from a perspective that they are the ones that is having the power to make decisions. So therefore, teachers should also have the ability to make change, because everything changes as time goes by. And definitely, they should be able to absorb in or to relate themselves to the current world situation where gender equality is very important, right? So as teachers, how they could make sure that the change take place is to upgrade and to learn about the issues. And there's a lot of people like AWAM and other NGOs that is very willing to share this knowledge with the schools. And another thing that the school can do is, if they know that such incidents of disclosure, like sexual harassment, rape, is taking place, then there should be policies on safeguarding, which means that everyone in that school community looks after the interests of these people, the students and all. At the same time, as we look into issues like sexual harassment, it's not just within the school or the people, but your surrounding, like the public spaces, the bus stand, the children are transported by school buses. Are they safe within the school buses? Because a recent survey by a gender consultancy shows that sexual harassment takes place in public spaces as well. So as vanguards of change, they not know only within the internal of the school, but also externally in the surroundings. And at the same time, I think one of the important things is your community comprised of young children, and children have rights. They should be involved, they should be listened to. And when children or students bring up issues such as this, it should be taken on a positive note that they are bringing up issues and the school can actually work on it and make it part of their system to make change in the best interest of these students.
Right. Betty, thank you so much for joining us on the show tonight. We appreciate your time. That's all we have for you on this episode of Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutan, signing off the evening.
Thank you so much for watching and good night.